Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello everyone, no messing about, we are straight in. I'm in new surroundings, so hopefully you can hear us and see us and everything's working okay. I'm joined by Sam. How are you, Sam?
No, I'm all right, thank you. I'm very much pleased that you're back and hosting this stream and yep. That I don't have to host it again.
Yeah, you had your first experience, didn't you, with Jani. How would you say it went? Mixed bag?
It was fun.
Yeah.
There was some carnage. There was a lot of lagging. But there was also hopefully some good insight into the fixtures last week. Next time I've learned some valuable lessons. Next time that you leave, yeah. I'll be fine.
I mean, it was a big one, wasn't it? It was a big day with the fixtures being announced. It's a slightly different staggered sort of approach to FPL this season, because we haven't had any price leaks yet. We don't know when the game's launching. We think it could potentially be still at the end of this week, or it could more likely be next week. We don't really know, but we're waiting for those leaks because we're all addicts.
Desperate.
Yeah, but what we have got this year, and what the kind of purpose of this stream is we've got lots of tools now which are predicting these things. We've got live FPL, which we're going to be talking about, which you can actually build a team on that now, and those tools have been kind of improving each year. So the point of this stream is we're going to go through some of the price predictions for some of the top players, and we're going to look at a survey that Fantasy Football Scout did, which was asking people to kind of do their own predictions. Then we can look at live PL, which uses algorithms and other things. Ragaboli's very clever methods. Quite a lot of similarity between them. So there is a kind of a, you know, quite a core pattern emerging for how much these players are going to be. So we're going to discuss them. We're going to discuss if we agree with those prices. We can discuss some player classifications as well, and whether we think they'll be making it into our teams. So let's go.
Exciting.
Right, we start with Salah. Live FPL have him at 13 million. The Fantasy Football Scout survey also have him at 13 million. I'd probably put him at 13 million. I don't think he's going to go down, is he? So
no, I think he deserves to be tied highest starting player in the game ever. He's just Mr. Reliable, isn't he? And even, you know, I know the beginning of last season he was outstanding. And then after the African Cup of Nations, we maybe didn't see the very best Salah that we saw earlier on in the season, but he was still regularly returning points. And I think, you know, when you've got somebody that's as highly consistent playing in a Liverpool team that you would expect are going to be challenging again for the title this season, they're worth that level of investment. I mean, like, I guess the question comes, there's going to be savings you can make at Liverpool with other midfielders, I would have thought, because they're not going to price the likes of Diaz and Jota at the same price as Salah. So then you'll have some big decisions to make. But for me, 13 million is about where he should be. It feels like, I mean, I'd love him to be priced at 11, but
he's definitely not going to
come. It's not going to happen. So,
no. I mean, Prezenan did a great video yesterday on fixture kind of blocks and swings and captains as well. And obviously the first five fixtures are the ones that are kind of almost the most important as we kick off the season. And I think we all know by now it's City and Liverpool who are at the top of that. Yeah. So, I mean, Liverpool starting the season with Fulham. I mean, Man City start with West Ham away. I mean, Salah starting with a promoted side. It's going to be hard to ignore him, isn't it?
Yeah, and the promoted sides have got a terrible record on the opening day of the season. So it's going to be very difficult to go into a season without Salah in your team. I think you're going to start the season already thinking, I wish I'd bought a big sofa to hide behind because this is going to be torturous. And you don't want to be in a position where within the opening couple of weeks of the season, you've got to find a way to find 13 million to bring him in. That's the way I kind of see the opening teams. You have to go with players that, you know, if he doesn't start performing early on in the season, you can always downgrade him. That's a far easier process than it is to try and find that additional money. So for me, with the fixtures the way that they are for Liverpool, with the way that he's been playing, not just last season, but consistently over the last few seasons, he will be probably the first player I'll pop in my team, and I'll work out how I spread the budget around beyond him.
Yeah, I think if the fixtures have been trickier, I think you could maybe get away with looking at some of the other players we're going to talk about, a Diaz or someone. But yeah, I don't think there's going to be many that are brave enough to go about Salah captain at game one. Let's talk about Haaland then. Haaland's next, 12 million. That seems to be the consensus for him. Live FPL him at 12. The survey had him at 12. I mean, that's very pricey for a player coming into the Premier League for the first time. I mean, obviously everyone's expecting him to completely smash it. I can't remember there being a player coming in at 12 from a different league who's never played in Prem before. So he's the same price as Kane, for example, who gets, you know, 200 or close to 200 points every season. So the expectation's 200 plus points for Haaland. Great fixtures, West Ham, Bournemouth, game week 2. You're not going to want to be out without Haaland for Bournemouth at home, are you, in game week 2? Newcastle, Palace, and then Nottingham Forest. So two promoted teams in their first five. I can't see any way we're going to go without Haaland if he's fit.
I mean, the only way, I guess the only way that you could think about it is if you want to go with KDB instead. Like, if you're worried about, if in pre-season Pep doesn't play Haaland straight away, if he moves around with formations and structures and the way that the team is set up, then maybe there's a case for going KDB instead of him. Particularly if KDB is priced less than 12. Like, there might be some 0.5 or 1 saving there. And if that's the case, then maybe you could make a case for going with a midfielder instead of Haaland. But with the fixtures the way that they are, and also when you compare the Man City fixtures to, say, Kane's fixtures in the opening few weeks, with the exception of the opening day with Southampton, Kane's fixtures are much tougher than Haaland's over the opening few game weeks. So I think if you're looking for a premium striker, you probably are looking at Haaland over Kane in the opening few game weeks of the season.
Yep. I mean, the other consideration is, of course, Son. So Son, live FPL 11.5, so does the scout survey. So you see what I mean? Kind of link these prices. It'd be interesting to see what kind of curveballs FPL throw in and see this. I guess Son is, again, is what is his classification going to be? Because is he going to come as a forward to rival Kane? I mean, surely that just completely eliminates Kane from the conversation completely.
It's difficult though, isn't it? Because I actually was thinking that's probably the changes that they would make this year, with, you know, making the likes of Salah and Son forwards. But then FPL tweeted last week with the who's going to be your forwards in the game, your midfielders in the game, and included Salah and Son in that tweet. So then you kind of go, well, is that an indication as to where they're going to be classified? Are they going to stay in midfield now? If Son's staying in midfield, he's probably going to be that little bit cheaper than Kane. That makes sense. But again, you know, you look, he was, what, 7 points behind Salah last season? Mm. Not a lot. And so if you're talking about two players that returned well over the course of last season, and Son's returns pretty much, I mean, it was the back end of the season, wasn't it, where he just went absolutely insane and he was the perfect FPL asset to own. Under Conte, going into the new season under Conte with Spurs looking like they're doing good business in the transfer window, then potentially he's going to be an option that you want to go with. I guess the question is, do you want to go with him regardless of the fixtures? Because the fixtures aren't perfect for Spurs. They're not exactly the brilliant games that you see for Liverpool and Manchester City in these opening few weeks of the season. That's a cat. You said I forgot to shut my door and it's just appeared. It's trying to climb on my lap at the moment. There he is.
There he is. Classic pets on stream. Yep.
So Archie again, he was doing this yesterday in a Zoom call that we were on. So yeah, I think Son, if he comes in 11.5, which I think he should, I think he's that valuable player. And one of the things that you love to hate about FPL is that you're forced to make tough choices. You're not going to be able to build a team that has all of these players in it right from game week one with 100 million. So you're going to have to make tough decisions, and you're going to have to go without some players who you think are pretty much essential, particularly at the moment. So, yeah, Son at 11.5 feels like the right price point for him.
I think fixtures are great for Son. Southampton, okay, Chelsea away is tough in game week two, but Southampton at home, Wolves at home, Nottingham Forest, three out of five good fixtures, I'd say.
Yeah, but the problem I have with those is that those are the sort of fixtures where we mess up. That will go Spursy against Wolves because they know how to they can defend well when they want to, and they're the sort of team that can put in a good defensive performance. The Chelsea game is tough to read. Southampton on the opening day, I think, is a great fixture. Yeah, it's a great fixture for both Son and Kane. And I think if you go Kane for the opening game week, which is kind of where I was thinking, if Kane and Haaland are priced at the same point, then I might go Kane for game week one and then switch to Haaland for game week two and beyond. But, you know, with somebody like Son, there's going to be choices to be made. I don't love the opening fixtures for Spurs. The later fixtures are better. And I only say that because, you're comparing them against, say, Liverpool or Manchester City, because they're the price points for those players. So when you compare the fixtures that City have and Liverpool have with the ones that Spurs have, Spurs are a much more mixed bag to start the season, whereas the others, you can literally just go, they're perfect, and off we go.
I think we're going to see that happening. I think we're going to see people go for Kane or Son and then switch to Haaland, just because City have got that West Ham away game. And they're all going to be priced around the same. I mean, if Son was 10.5, for example, you might not want to keep that 1.5 in the bank because you want to use it. But when it's 0.5, you could maybe think about doing that. I hate banking transfers, though. But Southampton at home looks good. And
it does.
I think it's going to be very hard to fit in Salah, Son and Haaland and build a fairly decent team. Let's talk about a player that probably no one is going to go anywhere near, which is Bruno Fernandes. We have a slight difference here. Live FPL have got him at 10.5. The scout survey's got him at 10. So that'd be, 2 million less than he came in last season. Before that, don't forget, he got sort of 200 points. Absolutely incredible assets.
Top scorer, wasn't he?
Top scorer. Started last season with a hat-trick. Everyone thought he was going to kick on. Absolutely did not. United have got Brighton first game at home. Then Brentford, then Liverpool, Southampton, Leicester. So Southampton, Brentford look good. Brighton could go either way. They've made no signings yet. Haven't strengthened at all. You're not going to pay 10.5 for Bruno, are you?
You're not, no. And I think if he's priced at 10.5, he almost becomes a non-asset, which is a shame, really, because in seasons gone by, Bruno Fernandes has been fantastic. And I still look at that Manchester United team and think, if they kick on this season, if there's a massive improvement under Ten Hag, which I think there will be, whether it happens straight away at the start of the season or whether it takes a while remains to be seen, and depending upon who they sign and how they strengthen, that will obviously have an impact. But I think he's the best asset in that Manchester United team from an FPL perspective. He's the most consistent, he's the most likely to get regular game time and be in the right places to return points. So for me, he will be one that I will have on the radar, and I'll be watching him to see how do Manchester United get on in pre-season. When they start signing players, who is it that they're getting? Because they've released loads of players. So they've cleared the wage structure in terms of, you know, the bill that goes out every month. So they've got the budget to sign players. So I'll be interested to see who they get. And I'll be keeping an eye on him carefully to see how those opening few fixtures go. But he certainly won't be in my game week one team. It'll be, I'm going to watch and see how you get on over the first sort of three or four game weeks of the season, and then maybe look to invest if Manchester United are the Manchester United of a couple of seasons ago where Bruno was excellent.
Yeah, and we're also waiting to see kind of how Sancho kicks on under Ten Hag. I mean, Ronaldo, what price he comes in at.
Van de Beek will be back as well from his loan.
Yeah.
So, and he's obviously worked with Ten Hag before, so it will be interesting to see how that sets up. And that's why I think pre-season is going to be quite interesting for us with Manchester United assets to watch and see how they get on.
Yeah, they're a hard avoid for me, though. I mean, you know, they've got Brighton in game week one. They're going to lose that, and then that's going to, you know, really set the tone.
Bye, Seagulls fan.
Yep, just a bit. Okay, Luis Diaz then. So he signed in January. He came in quite cheap. He did. Yeah. He did okay. He got a couple of goals, a couple of assists. Always looked amazing, but didn't really kind of, you know, not like Salah or Mane levels. Expected he's going to have a big price hike. Especially with Mane leaving, he's going to play a lot more games. I have FPL home at 9. Our survey has him at 9 as well. I like it. I like him at 9.
I do too. I think he and Jota will come in around the same price point. Jota, well, we'll see. But I really like Luis Diaz. I think he is he's the player that I kind of feel got away at Spurs. Like, I really wanted him. I was really excited about him when we were linked with him. And then obviously Liverpool came in and did what they do and attracted him and off he went. And I think he will be a fantastic asset. He might be the player that the conversation is between Salah and, because there will be a lot of players that, like in seasons gone by when there was a significant price difference between Salah and Mane, there was a conversation to be had as to whether you went with one over the other to save budget. Last season, that conversation didn't really exist because Mane was priced too close to Salah. So you weren't really saving enough money to go with Mane over him.
Exactly.
And then you could double up with one of the cheaper options with the likes of Diaz or Jota if you wanted to. Well, this season, obviously, with Mane not looking like he's going to be around, it's not official yet, but certainly looking like he's going that way, then you're going to have Salah probably in around the 13 million mark, and then probably Diaz and Jota sitting at the kind of 9. Now, that's a significant gap. That's 4 million. That's almost a whole defender that you can... And when you look at it that way, you then have to think about, well, what does that mean for the rest of my team? And is there an opportunity to save that 4 million? Now, I still see Jota and Diaz, and to a certain extent, the new guy up top, Nunes, as a nice to have alongside Salah rather than a replacement for. And so at 9 million, that's quite a difficult nice to have alongside, because the defenders aren't, you know, Andy Robertson's not going to be 9. So I could save up by doubling up with him instead. So I think that could make them difficult owns if you want to go Salah as well.
Yeah, I think we're going to see kind of Salah, Haaland, and maybe looking at Diaz alongside, or you're going to go Son, Diaz, and Haaland. I think Haaland is just going to be in pretty much everyone's team that we see.
Could be the Werner, though, couldn't he, of a couple of seasons ago when everybody seemed to have Werner.
Exactly. It could be. But like you said earlier, it's easier to jump off than it is to jump on.
100%.
If he starts. I mean, Kulusevski, we are going to talk about in a bit, but I mean, he's the other one as well that lets you, because you want to tap it, if you want to tap into these three teams in City, Liverpool and Spurs, there is a pool of players. And I like the fact that we haven't got, well, we don't know, they could price Diaz at 11 million, but I seriously doubt they're going to.
Unlikely.
Because he hasn't hit the heights. But I think we're going to have options across all three of those sides in both the premium points, you know, City with Haaland, mid-prices with Foden, probably again, Liverpool, you're going to have Salah, you're going to have Diaz, and then Spurs, you're going to have Son and Kulusevski. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I think we are going to see differences in the way people build their teams around those kind of core six or seven players.
Yeah, it'll be the frustrating ones, won't it? When you kind of you're going to have lots of drafts in this pre-season where you go, right, here's my Haaland draft, here's my Salah draft, here's my Kane draft, here's this one. And you're going to, you just pick the one that you pick, you'll kind of then get through game week one and go, oh, I wish I'd have picked.
Yeah, Kulusevski gets a hat trick and you've gone for Son. Yeah. Yeah, it's always going to happen. Yep, always going to happen. Saka is next. So Love FPL and Scout both got him at 8. He started at 6.5 last season, had a great season. Had penalties for a bit, lost penalties. I'm not really sure what's going on there. Arsenal were signing some more kind of attacking players. Gabriel Jesus might come in. They've signed this new guy from Porto. You know, they've got a lot of options. Smith Rowe, all of these, and obviously Saka can. But Saka's the kind of the main guy. He's the one that's going to play the most sort of on the right, the main attacking asset. So I think now he is just by far the one to go for if you're going to go for an Arsenal player. Fixtures are okay. Start with Palace away, not easy. Leicester at home. But then they play Bournemouth and Fulham, so two promoted teams in a row. And then Villa at home. So not a bad run. I think they are top of the fixture ticker on Scout. Would you go near Saka at 8? Is FC going to be there as well? Like we talked,
it's interesting, isn't it? Because the that middle price point. So last year, these were all players that were priced kind of in the 6, 6.5, 7, 7.5 bracket. And that made selecting them really easy because you also had a load of really nice budget enablers by the end of the season and the likes of, you know, Jacob Ramsey and Anthony Gordon and players that you could kind of bring in that fifth midfielder spot, free up the budget, and then you could go to these guys easily, and you know, you could have Kulusevski and Saka. this season, if they price in at where we're all kind of anticipating they will, you're again probably having to make choices. Now, the question is, do you want to invest in the Spurs attack or the Arsenal attack? Now, as they stand right now at this minute, you'd be investing in the Spurs attack with Son and Kane and Kulusevski. If Arsenal sign Jesus or a really good forward, that flips the conversation again, because then Saka's, the players around him become so much better. His opportunities for assists and goals and whether he stays on penalties and all of that kind of stuff also then changes. So I really like Saka. If I'm investing in Arsenal, it will be him, unless Jesus arrives and he's nicely priced at a price point that is kind of significantly under the top forwards in the game, which he should be, because he didn't exactly have the best season last year. So I would be expecting that price to come down, or at least stay where it was. If he arrives at that sort of price, then that opens up that conversation. But Saka is my preferred at Arsenal for sure. It's just going to be whether you can budget for a couple in that price point.
Yeah, and I think that's why getting a kind of an 8 million player is going to be key for that structure, to be able to move across these different players.
Definitely.
I think with Foden, Kulusevski and Saka all likely to come in around 8-5, that's going to be a spot in which we can sort of tweak as the season goes. But I agree, starting, I think Arsenal are going to be a wait and see for me, personally.
Yeah, and if they do their business late, then, you know, it's fine, isn't it? If they do, Arteta's worked with Jesus before. I would expect that if he does arrive, then that would be a good and easy partnership that will kind of set in. But you do want these players to arrive as early on in the window as possible, so they get the whole pre-season with their new teams and they know what they're doing and you can see them in the pre-season fixtures. With Arsenal, it's all a bit slow. So a bit like Man United, it's a bit slow in the transfer window at the moment. They seem to be starting to pick up. We've got the new guy yesterday. So yeah, let's keep an eye on them. They're a team I'm definitely watching in pre-season, because I did really enjoy, really enjoy owning Saka last season. Like, he was a great asset. It's painful, that is. But he was a really good asset to own last year, and I don't think that will change this year. I think he'll continue to be. It's just going to be price point choices, I guess.
Yeah.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Let's take a look at another 8 million asset, my boy, James Maddison. I'm talking about, like, he is going to be 8 million, but I think that's probably going to be a fair price for him. Live FPL have him at 8, our survey has him at 8 as well. I think there's a chance he comes in at 7.5. He was 7 million at the start of last season. Obviously, he had a really good season. I think they probably bump him up to 8. So that seems to be the consensus. I wouldn't be too surprised if he came in a little bit lower. But Leicester are an interesting team, right? Because they didn't perform last season. They got their full team back towards the end of last season, did really well, got some big wins, you know, 4 or 5 goals in some of those. Vardy's getting on a bit now. We're going to be looking at the likes of Barnes and Maddison. I like it. I think Maddison could be a strong pick.
Yeah, he will be another one that if he comes in around the 8 bracket, might get overlooked, because you're probably going to want Kulusevski or Saka in place of him. But if he comes in at 7.5, I think that conversation is very different, because at 7.5, I think he looks like a great option. He's probably still a great option at 8, to be honest, but I think if he's priced at 7.5, more managers will go there, because they'll look at him and go, well, that's a 0.5 saving over these other guys. I could have probably him alongside one of them if I structure my team with a strong midfield. So I really like Maddison. I think you're right. Everything you said about Leicester, I think is right. I think he will be one of their key. I mean, he was this season, but he will continue to be their key asset, really, over the next year. Obviously, there's no European stuff for them this year, so that will have a bit of an impact as well in terms of minutes and that kind of thing. So, yeah, for me, Maddison looks like a good option, but I'm hoping he's a 7.5, really.
Fixtures aren't amazing. I mean, they got Brentford and Southampton, game week 1 and 3. Arsenal away, game week 2. Chelsea away, game week 4. United in game week 5. But again, I mean, we didn't really have... last season, it was either the 6.5 and unders, or it was the kind of premiums. I think this season, we are now going to start seeing these kind of mid-price players really coming into it. And there's, like we're showing here, there's a there's a big pool of them. Another one to come. But in defence, are we going to see Trent be 8 million this season? It looks like it. Live FPL thinks so. Our survey says 8 million. Two, I don't see how they can price him at 7.5 again after he's had another season of returning the way he has. He's going to get another price hike, isn't he?
I was astounded that he wasn't 8 at the start of last season. I remember he was the first player that I looked for when I was building my team and was like, right, Trent, 7.5, like that feels like a bargain for Trent. Like I remember saying to Lee, like I feel like I've stolen him at 7.5. And that's a ridiculous thing to say, by the way, because he's the most expensive defender in the game. And yet I'm saying I think he's a bargain. I cannot see how he's anything other than 8. He's going to return at a similar level in terms of attacking returns to what we've seen over the last few seasons from him. Obviously, he has the defensive stats alongside that. Liverpool defensively are really solid usually. So we're going to get clean sheets out of him. If you get clean sheets and attacking returns, there's going to be some bonus points out of him. He's going to return a similar number of points this season as he has in the previous seasons, I would expect. And therefore, he rivals the likes of Saka and Kulusevski in the game in terms of the points returns that he can get. Now, regardless of whether you're a midfielder or a defender, if you can return that level of points in the game, that's the price point that you should be priced at.
A lot of people in the chat saying they think 8.5 for Trent.
Could be. It wouldn't surprise me to see him take a really big price jump.
Yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me. The reality is you've got to make choices between those mid-priced midfielders that we've just been talking about and the premium defenders. And that's how it should be. You shouldn't be kind of thinking, oh, well, I can save money by having Trent. Like, he shouldn't be an option to save money and get an attacking player. He should be priced at the same price as the other attacking players in the game, because that's what he is. So, and I think, you know, Andy Robertson's going to have to take a price jump as well this season, because he had a good one last time. All right, not as good as Trent's, but by the back end of the season, he was fantastic. So if you want to put him up in price as well, you've got to think about where you're putting Trent.
Yep. I think, you know, if they make Trent 8.5 and they make Robertson and Cancelo 7, yeah, I think then there's a decision to be made. But I think Trent at 8, I just can't see how you can go without him with the fixtures that Liverpool have got.
No, you won't. Yeah. And I think you're right. It depends on what FPL want to do, doesn't it? Because at 8.5, if Robertson is 7 and Cancelo is 7, then my immediate gut is, right, well, we go without Trent and we go Robertson and Cancelo. But if he's 8, then I'll go with Cancelo and Trent, and I'll save some budget from somewhere else.
Yeah. I mean, look at Trent compared to the other players that we mentioned. You know, Maddison, Saka, Kulusevski. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about Bowen in a second as well. These are all these kind of 8 million players I'm saying are going to be great. But if you're picking one in a draft out of all of those, you're going Trent first.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because he's your premium defender, right? And he's the one, you know, we just talked about price points at the beginning and how you might go Kane to start the season knowing you can replace with Haaland, or you might go, you know, for a different premium midfielder knowing that you can come down easily. For me, that's exactly the thing that I would want to do with the defenders as well, because if I invest in Trent, then I can go anywhere from him in terms of defenders if he's performing badly. But if I don't, if I go with Robertson instead and Trent's 1.5 million more, getting there is going to be difficult because you're going to have to find 1.5 from somewhere else again. And when you're doing it in free transfers, that's a tough ask to pull out 1.5 million from somewhere else. So my preference in the early part of the season, particularly going into game week one, is to build a squad of positions where everything is flexible and you can move around between these price points, because at this stage you're not going to get any price until game week starts. You're not going to get any price changes, so it's easy to move around between those different players depending upon who starts the season well and who's got the better fixtures, that kind of thing.
Well, Trent's such a nice option in defence because you just leave him, like you just don't need to worry about that position all season, whereas with all the other positions you feel like you might, you know, we've been talking about starting with Kane and moving to Haaland or looking at Diaz potentially over Salah, but Trent, I just think if Trent comes in at 8, that's it. He's in for the season for everyone.
Unless he gets injured. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Kulusevski then, we've kind of covered him already, but he's predicted at 8 as well. Live FPL and Scout 2. I can see myself starting with him beginning the season going
instead of Son.
Yeah, I think the Salah, Haaland, Kulusevski triple is going to be really popular because that really hits those three kind of things.
It does, yeah.
We're kind of focusing on sort of the more premium assets at the moment, but then I think we'll probably do another video, unless we start getting some prices coming in, looking at the likes of Perisic at 6.5 or, you know, maybe some of the cheaper kind of options. But I think for that game week one fixture, the pick of all of the 8 million midfielders that we've talked about so far, I think is Kulusevski.
He was phenomenal, wasn't he, when he arrived at Spurs? And, you know, he returned in, what was it, like the first 8 games that he started for the club? It was like crazy consistent. But you're going to get that when you play alongside...
6 million
players.
He was. 6 million on the side.
And you're going to get that when you play alongside Kane and Son, right? Spurs are an attacking team with good attacking players in there. And he came and he complemented that incredibly well. He made that spot his own. Lucas Moura didn't get a look in after he arrived, which tells you a lot because he was playing regularly up until that point. I think last season, obviously, he was just a gift because at that price, you could double up on the Spurs attack. Whether you doubled up with Son or Kane, it didn't really matter. But you could have Kulusevski and one of those two. And you felt like you were going to return points because Spurs were scoring well. Now, going into the new season, I expect Spurs will kind of continue to play the Conte style. They'll continue to play with attacking wing-backs. They'll continue to have Kulusevski in the right places, doing the right things with assist and goal potential. So if he's going to come in at 8, then that's probably 4 million under Kane's price and probably 3 and a bit million, maybe 3.5 million under Son's price. At that point, he's the saving that you could make. I don't see it so much with Salah, with one of the other Liverpool players, because there's so many of them, there could be some rotation. But with Kulusevski, it's guaranteed game time, pretty much. You're not going to see him rotated around too much. And he could be a nice, easy way to go with Spurs, feel like you're covered for that opening game against Southampton. All right, it's not Son, but we saw over the course of the season, had he played the whole season at the rate he did, he'd have been up there with the top scorers for the season last time around. So he's definitely worth a look if he's 8.
Yeah, agreed. And then the final kind of one around this mark is Bowen. Obviously starts with City, so doesn't get much harder than that. Rest of the fixtures. You got the West Ham fixtures? My phone's just...
Yep.
Died.
Phone has died.
I've got. It's City, and then it's Forest, Brighton, Villa, and Spurs. So Forest in 2 looks good, but then the rest is tough. I mean, City, Brighton, Villa, Spurs. These are some good defenses.
I think
if he comes in at 8.85, I think it's a good price for him. But I don't know if I'd be starting with him.
I think the thing with West Ham, and particularly with Bowen, is that you can afford to wait. Like, you can afford to wait and see what happens with him. He's not going to be highly owned going into the season because they start with Manchester City. So most people are going to look at that opening fixture and go, I don't want Bowen. So you're going to be able to afford to watch him and see what he does. Now, he was fantastic last season. I don't think he played great when he was playing for England over the last couple of internationals. So probably it was a long season, tiring season, multiple campaigns in terms of European football as well for West Ham. So going into the new season, with the opening fixtures the way that they are, he's going to be a player that I sit on and I just wait and see how West Ham start the season, what the new signings, how they bed in, and whether they kind of strengthen their team over the course of this preseason or not. So I think for me, again, it goes back to that. He's in that 8 million price point. You probably, if you're going with an 8 millioner, going Kulusevski. So then we'll wait on Bowen, and maybe he's a transfer in a few game weeks' time if he's performing really well.
Yep, no, I agree. If you are watching this stream, and there's 300 people watching, nice early morning one, thanks. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. There'll be more of these, you know, sort of in the coming weeks until the game launches. And then obviously loads of content once the game launches as well, team reveals and different kind of strategies and who to pick and that kind of thing. Make sure you like this video. As well, that'd be really helpful. The final section I wanted to look at was just some kind of players I picked out from live FPL, which I just thought would be quite interesting. So these are the live FPL predicted prices on the screen. So Henderson, I put him in goal at 4.5. This is assuming he moves, gets his move to Forest, which I think would be a great move for him and Forest and probably United as well. You know, it's just one of those moves that looks perfect on paper.
For everybody.
So with Forrest goalkeeper leaving, I think he could be the kind of 4.5 goalkeeper option that we're all hoping for. I've also put Martinez in goal as well, because he should come down to 5 again. He had that insane season 2 years ago. An okay season last year, but not for 5.5. I think for 5, that could be maybe a little bit tempting. But I think if Henderson's 4-5, then he's the one, right?
Well, if he's 4-5, then you've probably got a really nice opportunity to go with rotating 4.5s. If he gets a move, if he gets priced at 4.5 and moves to Forest, perfect 4.5 rotating option there. Because, you know, yes, Forest are going to have some tough matches where maybe you don't want Henderson. But then in seasons past, when he's played regularly, when he was out on loan before, even in those tough games, he returned points well because he makes lots of saves and he's a really nice asset to own. So, yeah, if he's 4.5, which he should be, then he's perfect.
Yep. In defence, I've picked up some more premiums and one little man. Little man? That sounds really patronising, but he is, I mean, for his price, 4.5. Reece James, 6.5. Chilwell, 6. Let's start with them. They're the kind of Chelsea wing-backs of choice. I tell you, if James and Chilwell are 6.5 and 6, I'm getting both of them.
Oh! The problem is, the good thing about getting both is you don't have to worry about missing out.
No.
The problem with Chelsea wing-backs is that you often get, I do anyway, I get the wrong one, and then you've got a problem. The thing I don't like about, and it's always the same, right? I hate starting the season with a defensive double up because the clean sheets aren't always there early on. Like often it takes a while to settle in. And particularly with Chelsea losing Rudiger, I just wonder, there's going to be a lot of personnel changes in that Chelsea defence. And even with the likes of Chilwell, he's been out for so long. Will he just, they've got to learn to play together again almost, haven't they? That Chelsea defence with whoever comes in to replace Rudiger in it and that kind of thing. So I will probably be tempted to go with one of them. Probably the most expensive one. So if they're priced at 6.5 and 6, I'll probably be tempted to go with Reece James, knowing I can move down. And actually getting to a 6 million isn't that difficult because I'll probably have another 6 million defender in. So for Chelsea then, post Spurs in game week 2, are keeping regular clean sheets, then at that point I'll probably look to double up, but I'll probably start with just one.
Yeah. I mean, my kind of counter argument to that is if we're looking at the kind of 6.5 mids or strikers, you know, we're expecting Tony, for example, to go up to 7.5. He's on this list. Yeah. Would you rather have Reece James at 6.5 or Tony or Chilwell or Tony and save that million 1.5?
No,
looking at, like, people, Mitrovic is going to be really popular. He's going to be the same price as Reece James, according to Live FPL.
I mean, the one thing
James
I will say
Mitrovic
about
every day.
Well, for sure. But I mean, the one thing I will say about Tony is that you roll the fixture ticket to game week 10 and Brentford are top of it because they've got a really nice start to the season, actually. So, you know, maybe there's scope for just paying that little bit extra for Tony. And you're going to have to pay extra for the Brentford players this year. And you never really know second season syndrome and all of that kind of stuff that we saw with Leeds. But I think there's scope there. I'll be really surprised to see the Chelsea defenders come in at that price because it feels like a bit of a bargain to own them when you compare them to what else is around. But equally, they've had lots of injuries last season. They haven't exactly consistently returned. And so therefore, it's the right price probably.
Yep. I don't think they can push him up to 7.75 off the back of that. But I think we're going to see a lot of back fours and back fives.
Yeah.
This year, more than we've seen previously, because we've got Cancelo there as well at 7, who we haven't mentioned.
Yeah, who you're going to want to own.
Predicted at 7. It's going to be really hard to not go for him with City sort of second or third on the fixture ticker. You know, you could go for a Laporte or a Diaz maybe, but you're going to be watching those games terrified. I can see myself starting with Trent, James, Cancelo and Chilwell.
It could be a big at the back start, with Salah and Haaland. And then the midfield, you have Kulusevski, and then you go for some cheaper options in the midfield.
Yeah, I think that's going to be the kind of template that we see. Some other players, so midfield, Rafinha 7.5. Be interesting to know what happens with him. Does he stay?
Where is he going to be?
Where does he go? I mean, I don't know where he goes. I mean, Chelsea are looking like they're going to get Sterling, which is really interesting. We'll do a whole video on that, I think, if that transfer goes through.
Mm.
I don't think he'll like go to Arsenal. Liverpool don't really need him.
He's been linked with Arsenal and Spurs, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And then obviously the move that he really wants, which is to Barcelona. I just don't see that one happening now. So I guess his question is, does he want to stay at Leeds or does he want to go and play somewhere like Spurs, but probably get a little bit more rotation there because, you know, that Conte's going to want to strengthen those positions around the Champions League football. God, that feels nice. Talk about Champions League football again. But around those other competitions, we haven't had to do that under Conte yet because obviously we went out of the Conference League early. So, you know, maybe there's scope, but I don't really think we need him. I don't really think Arsenal need him. There's other players in other positions that I think those two clubs could strengthen. That's not Rafinha. So I think there's a possibility that we go into next season with Rafinha still at Leeds.
You're not paying 7.5 for Rafinha at Leeds.
No, you're not.
Can't
so
see it.
If he stays at Leeds, I mean, the only positive here could be if he's still at Leeds when the game drops, maybe he's not 7.5. Maybe actually he's more like 6.5, 7. And then if he does then move to another Premier League club, he probably becomes that nice budget option that you go with. It depends on when the game launches and where Rafinha is, because at 7.5 you're not touching him with a barge pole if he's a Leeds player. I don't think.
He's one of these players, you're completely right, that's a difficult player to price, because you could underprice him and he goes to Chelsea and becomes a starter for them, and then you've got a Chelsea starter for 6.5. Or you price him at 7.5 and he stays at Leeds, and then no one's going near him
because no one buys him.
Good point. De Bruyne at 12 seems pretty likely, I'd say. That would put him the same price as Haaland.
I think, and that makes sense. And if you think about how FPL have done it in previous years, they do like to price these star players in a similar bracket to each other, so that you had to make the choice between Salah and Mane at the start of last season. You know, you have to, they like you to make those difficult choices. And so would it surprise me to see Haaland and KDB priced around the same point? No. And KDB probably should go up in price given how good he was at points last season, around injury, of course, but... So, yeah, he's probably going to be 12, but I'm probably going to want to own him. And finding the budget to have him and Son and Salah and Haaland. So you probably then, I don't know, might be tempted to just go with one of them and maybe look at one of the mid-price City players, maybe Foden instead. Because owning Haaland, KDB and Cancelo will take up a lot of budget.
Yeah, I think we're going to see a lot of people... your reasonings for going for Haaland need to be you think he's going to smash at the start of the season. I think if there could be people with doubts about his ability, like in a new league and new system and all this kind of stuff, who go for De Bruyne for the kind of safety, because you know what you're getting with
him. Yeah, you do,
And then you wait and see it for a few weeks. Exactly. And then you think, okay, Haaland's scoring. Because, I mean, if Haaland gets big points, you wouldn't expect De Bruyne to be blanking, for example.
No, well, that's the thing, isn't it? If Haaland's scoring goals, I would put money on it being KDB that's assisting them. At least some of the time.
He's
going to be on free kicks. It's going to be one of those seasons, I think, where we all spend a lot of time going, oh, I've got the wrong asset in a lot of these games for Man City, for Liverpool, for Spurs, for probably Chelsea and Arsenal as well, depending upon who signs for those guys. But you could easily have a season where you always feel like you're on the wrong one. And particularly if you like to upside chase like Late Riser does, you could easily be on the wrong ones in the wrong weeks. It might be a patience season where you just kind of go, all right, well, Haaland outscored KDB this week, but next week it might be the other way around, and just stay loyal during the nice fixture runs.
I think we need to get a move on, because apparently it sounds like there's someone hoovering. I think that's my laptop. Overheating.
Taking off.
Over a little bit, yeah, probably. Just a couple more I want to mention here. So there's three Liverpool players I've stuck on here. Jota at 9, Nunes, who we haven't really talked about, at 9.5, and then Robertson at 7.5. This is going to be, Jota, I think if they hadn't signed Nunes, would have been perfect. But I do, surely the front three is going to be Nunes, Diaz and Salah, and Jota sort of,
I think so.
Playing kind
with
of
with Jota and Firmino playing in around Champions League, giving extra minutes here and
but there. It means rotation, right? It means rotation for Nunes, probably, especially early on as he kind of beds in. It means rotation for Diaz. We see him coming off at 60 minutes all the time. I don't know. It kind of, again, we've got these kind of, because Mane and Salah were so nailed on every week, but I do think now, other than Salah, it's going to be a bit of a minefield. Probably about half a season, I think, until Klopp settles on what he wants.
Yeah, even then, Klopp does rotate around with those big players up top in that third spot anyway. So he probably will continue to do that, and we'll have to deal with Pep and his roulette. We've got Tuchel, who's always changing stuff, and Klopp, with that many good forward players, you're going to have rotation from him as well. It's inevitable, isn't it, really? Apart from with Salah. So if you pay the premium project to own Salah, you'll be safe. With everyone else, there's a risk.
And I've got Mount here at 8.5, probably the Chelsea option of choice. Lukaku's going back to Inter. What a disaster that's been.
It's a disaster.
I mean, we might see Havertz. Yeah, we might see Havertz emerge again if he comes in at 7.58. But then, you know, I mean, Sterling is going to be really interesting to see what happens. I mean, if he comes in at 8.59 or something like that and he's playing for Chelsea, then I think he could be a real difference maker. But Mount at 8.5, I think, is the one that most people are going to be going for. But it's a lot of money, you know, he's that Mount entering into that premium tag now without penalties, you know, playing for a Chelsea side who, like you mentioned, have lost Rudiger, a bit inconsistent. And you've got those fullbacks at 6.5 and 6. I think we're not going to see too much investment in Mount.
No, I don't either. Which is a bit of a shame, really, because he can be a fantastic FPL asset. But I think he's going to hit that price point that, like you say, there's a lot of players in that price point, and you're probably going to prefer to go with one of them over him. So he'd probably get ignored, particularly if Sterling ends up there.
Yep. And then the final two players, just to mention here, are some cheaper ones. So I've got Fofana for Leicester. Love FPL predicting him at 4.5. I think he could be a bit of a gem. Leicester without Europe, for example. But, you know, obviously we talk all these premium options. You've got to find some fours and 4.5s and things. I think if Fofana does come in at 4.5, I think he could be the steal in that bracket. You know, a bit of a Ben White or something that everyone sort of seems to go to last season. And Neto as well. I picked Neto in midfield at 6 million, likely to be playing up front for Wolves. Mm-hmm. Wolves, awful towards the end of the season. Absolutely terrible. But I do really rate Neto. And obviously he came back from that big injury. He's going to have a full pre-season. And again, we're going to need cheaper players because there's so many premium options likely. So I think Neto leads away in the first game as well, playing up front. Could be something to look at.
Yeah. I mean, it seems a bit random, but you're going to have players in that 6 million bracket, don't you? And so you want to be looking at the ones that are likely to be in the right places to score goals. And he's, as you say, likely to be playing up top. So he's going to be in the right place to get you attacking returns. He's also probably, with the squad that the way it is that you've built here, likely to be on your bench a lot of the time. So owning somebody like him that can come off the bench and, you know, return good points is probably a good one.
Agreed. Yep. Let me know if you've enjoyed this video. If you have enjoyed it, I reckon tomorrow we could put together another one with some of these kind of cheaper options, your Netos and your Bruno Guimaraes and all of those, because we've mostly focused on the...
Want to talk about Bruno.
Can you believe I haven't put him in this?
No, I can't.
I know.
When you sent me this, I was like, where's Bruno?
I thought I'd put in Neto, and it'd be different. It just encourages people to watch these.
Tomorrow it'll be Bruno, won't
it? Yeah, so if you've enjoyed it, drop us a comment. Let us know if you agree with these prices, if you've put together any teams on these drafts. Make sure you check out Live FPL as well, where you can put together your own draft. Get that fixed before the game launches at some point in the next few weeks. We don't know when it's going to be. But hopefully it'll be soon. But Sam, thanks for joining. It's good to be back. We'll do some more of these videos going forward. And yeah, just looking forward to the game launching.
Yeah, come on the game. Thanks for having me. It's lovely to have you back.
Thank you so much. And I'll speak to you soon.